Exodus chapter 20, Exodus chapter 20, verse 20. Exodus 20, 20. How many people like the book of Exodus? I like the name of it, Exodus. Exodus. Moses said to the people, "Fear not, for God has come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not." Next verse. "And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. The Lord said unto Moses, Thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, Ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, thine oxen. And in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And if thou make me an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. For if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon." You can be seated. Man, we just read a very interesting part of Scripture. Moses is talking to God in the thick darkness. The people are afraid of the presence of God, so they send Moses in. And Moses, the Bible said, would talk to God face to face. Moses was called the friend of God. So as God being his friend, Moses had an interesting relationship with God. Sometimes God was mad and Moses wasn't. Sometimes Moses was mad and God wasn't. It's a good thing they never both got mad at the same time, because God would say, "Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to destroy the people." And Moses was like, no. And then Moses was like, "Hey, wipe these people out." And God's like, no. Good thing they never got together on that, or we probably wouldn't have salvation to talk about today. But Moses went into the thick darkness and he communicated with God. And when you read Scripture, read it real close, read it slow, gathered in, because there's principles in Scripture that God is always given. A good rule of thumb when you're reading the Bible is just ask yourself, what is God doing in this section of Scripture? What's God trying to say in this part of Scripture? And he starts talking about the altar. And we teach here at the church that the altar is not a place of shame, but it's a place of power. When you come to the altar, nobody in here should judge you, because we all need the altar. If you're lost here today and you come to the altar today, I want you to know we're rooting for you to come to the altar. Why the altar? Why was the altar always so important in Scripture? Build an altar. The patriarchs would go to a place and they would build an altar, and they would sacrifice on an altar. And Elijah would say, "Build an altar and let's see whose God answers by fire." And the altar is all throughout Scripture, and the necessity of an altar is very prevalent. And we see here that God begins to lay on the children of Israel some things that he wants them to do. He begins to tell them his precepts and his principles. So he says, "You shall make me an altar. An altar of earth shalt thou make unto me, and thou shalt sacrifice thereon." He says, and when you make this altar of stone, he said, it can't be of hewn stone. For if thou shalt lift up thy tool upon it, you have polluted it. Randy, would you grab my rock out there at the back door that you brought me? It's good. Illustrations are good. It'll help you remember. If you don't remember anything at all, you'll say, he had a rock up there up front. And I do remember that part about it. Maybe it'll jog your memory. But man, while he's getting my rock, did that praise team not rock it out today? Man, that was good stuff. Amen. They made an old Baptist like me want to shout. Amen. He said, you can just set it right here. He said, take this rock, and he said, and when you get the rock out, he said, make sure that it's not hewn. If you don't know what that means, make sure it's not chiseled. Make sure that it's not cut on. Make sure that it comes out of the earth the way that I designed it. Because we understand who created the earth, and we understand that this is the creator that is talking to them. But you know what our problem is we like smooth rocks. We like things to look attractive and to be smooth and to be easily touched. And God builds this altar, and he asks him to build the altar, and he says, don't touch it. Don't try to change it. And come here, Brandon, if you would. I'm going to give you one of these. That's a chisel. These young guys don't know. That's a hammer. I'm just messing with you because I love you. Hey, put them in the correct hands, or maybe I read them to him in the correct hands. That's the way it's supposed to be, right? You're right-handed, right? So you put the chisel in your left hand, and you hit it with your right hand. And your left hand takes a beating in this process. Can anybody say amen? Or if you're left-handed, your right hand takes a beating. But what's amazing about this is, how good do you think you'd be at splitting this rock with that chisel? Probably not very good. Turn around, face the people. Raise your hand if you think you could split this rock with this chisel and hammer pretty quick. Raise your hand. I'm not going to call you out. I'm just asking if you think you're capable. Oh, now they're brave. Yeah, me, Pastor. I can rock that rock. what happens is, the more you swing a hammer at a chisel, the better you get at it. You get better at it. Jason, maybe you can attest to this. When you get a red hat in the mines and they try to change bits, how good does it work out? Where's Dustin? When Dustin first started with us, can I tell him? He couldn't swing a hammer worth a lick, man. And he would line the chisel up and he'd go. and he's good at it now, but back then, man, it was tough. It was kind of funny to watch. Everybody's like, watch Dustin. I mean, if he could hit that thing with his head, it'd be good. But the hammer got better. Better now? Because the more you do it, the better you get at it, right? Because the more that you do something, and this is what's happened. What's happened in the church is we've gotten good at shaping things a certain way. When we first got saved and we first came to Jesus, it was kind of rough and kind of raw. We didn't know. We really didn't know. We just knew we loved Jesus. And then we got religionized. I don't know if that's a word, but that's what we did. We got religionized, and man, when you got saved and there was a time when you figured out, is anybody in here ever been in a church service where you just felt like just losing your mind and just... Raise your hand. I'm not going to call on you or get you up here. Just tell me. You mean you've been in that place where the Spirit of God is moving and you're just like, well, I've been in services where they did that. They didn't hold back and it scared the life out of you. You're just sitting there and all of a sudden some lady goes, wah! And you're like, hey! And you don't know what's going on. But she couldn't stop it. Couldn't hold it back. It was kind of, but then we get religionized. You know what we're good at now? We're real good at holding it in. Because we know that we want to shape our experience a certain way. We don't want to be too fanatical. Can I preach Vody Bachman for just a minute? Because I love this. We say, well, I'm not emotional. I'm not emotional. He says, well, let me ask you this. When you're out on a golf course and you shank one and the ball goes out into the abyss, do you say, I seem to have hit that one poorly? Or if your favorite team is losing in a big game, do you look at the screen and say, the other team seems to have more points than we have at this point? Or after working at a job for 20 years and you go in and you get a layoff slip, do you say, I have enjoyed my tenure here? And let me tell you what happens when you shank one. You don't say, I seem to have hit that poorly. You say, man, I don't know what's wrong with this thing. Raise your hand. Look around. When your team is down, you don't say, listen, you don't say, the other teams, that you say, this is stupid. They need to fire Neil Brown. He's got to go. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. It's over. I don't care if he did win 8 games. He got to go. We got to get some. Can I get an amen? Raise your hand. Amen. But when you come to church and we're singing, God, my God's alive, you're like, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. He said, then what you're saying to me is, your golf game, your favorite team, and your job means more to you than your Savior does. I'm here to tell you, I'm still excited that Jesus is still working it out. Amen. You want me to let you sit down now? Are you good? Okay, whatever you need. This is my guy right here. Okay, so here's what he said. He said, now when the altar comes out of the earth, let him see the altar. It's kind of rough. It's kind of jagged. It kind of don't fit in. And he said, whatever you do, don't take a chisel to it. He said, don't take a chisel to it. Then he says, don't put it on steps either. Why not steps? Because he said, if you put it on steps, step up here, Brandon. If you go to step up, what he was afraid of was this. Them are nice socks. Sorry. What he was afraid of was when you stepped up, that you're not your shock. You go, sorry. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
He just said, I was hoping nobody seen him today. I've ruined your life. What he was afraid of was it coming up, and he said, so that your nakedness wouldn't be seen. All right, you can sit down for a minute. I'll get you a minute. What is his point? His point is this. When it comes to the altar, he said, this altar is all about me. I don't want you to try to shape it and change it to fit your society, to fit your idea, to fit your preconceived notion. No, this is my altar. I formed it. And he said, and don't make it where you step up and show your flesh, because the altar is not about your flesh. It's about the Creator making a way that he can meet with you. So I got some stories. And my stories are, there are people throughout Scripture that we read about that tried to chisel it the way they wanted it to go. One of my favorite stories is Abraham. Abraham had a promise. He said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. The problem was, to be a father, you have to have kids. He promised him he was going to make him the father of many nations, and he didn't have any kids. And our pastor preached a message years ago, the father of many and ain't got any. It's hard to be the father of many nations when you don't have any kids. It's really difficult when you're getting old. Amen. Amen. This story is a miracle, if you don't know. But his wife came up with an idea. And the idea was, they weren't having any kids. So she said, I got an idea. Take my handmaiden, have kids with her. This is in your Bible, people. Kevin, I got this idea that if me and Tracy couldn't have kids, we just wouldn't have kids. I can't see her saying, hey. Abraham's like, all right. I don't know if he said it like that, but it had to be something like that. Okay. Whatever. So, he has to spend some time. I don't want to be too vivid, but he has to spend some time with Hagar. This is wrong on so many levels. But the main level that it's wrong on is the fact that he's trying to make it happen when God had already promised it was going to happen. See, it didn't look like the way Abraham wanted it to look. It didn't look the way. So what Abraham did is he starts making it himself. He starts chiseling out the way it's going to happen on his own. And man, I'm telling you right now, the Middle East is a mess. And the Middle East is a mess because of Abraham.
Well, technically because of Sarah, and maybe because of Hagar. But anyway, all of that plays together because there comes an Ishmael. And Ishmael is a mistake. Shane, make sure that this is not broadcast in any of those countries over there, and they find me. Ishmael was a mistake. That whole thing is a mistake. It's man's hand put to it when God said, I got this. Don't bring your flesh into the situation. Don't mess with the altar. I made the altar. I don't want to see your flesh. The God that we serve is the grand architect. We learned that Wednesday night. And as the architect, he's got your plan. He's got a plan for your life. And he said, by the way, don't try to alter the plan. I tell you what's really dangerous is when we try to make the altar look pretty and it loses its power. When we try to shape it and we try to chisel it and we try to chisel God's word away so that it fits our society, God's word can't be chiseled. It's forever settled. If they're going to make it, they're going to make it by the same word that we're going to make it by.
But preacher,
that's how whiny people talk.
But preacher, we need to become more relevant to our culture.
Since when? Who told you that? The culture? Because God never did. God never told me to be more relevant. As a matter of fact, when you read temple, you'll find out that God made the walls. When you read tabernacle and you read temple, you'll find out that all the pretty stuff, the cedar that he put on the inside, he said, hey, make sure that this is freestanding. Make sure that there's no sockets in the walls that this connects into. Why would he say that? Because he didn't want the attractive stuff to ever, ever put any bearing on the structure. Are you hearing me? What am I saying? I'm saying make the gospel as attractive as you can, but do not compromise the strength of the gospel. Don't compromise the strength, because the strength of the gospel is this. You're lost and you need saved, and it can save you. Not you're okay and we want to reform you. No, the gospel is this. You are dead and need to be made alive, and the only thing that does that is Jesus. But we need to become more relevant. Put your chisel up. The title of my sermon today is Drop the Chisel. Put it down. So God tells, well, here's how it works. Sarah looks outside and she sees Ishmael picking on Isaac, because at this point she's had a son. Ishmael's out there picking on Isaac. Sarah gets tore up. She looks at Abraham and says, cast out the bondwoman and her son. Hold on a minute. This was your idea. Get rid of her. So Abraham gets a word from God. And you know what God says? Cast her out. You know what Abraham did? He did what all men do when God and his wife is right. He got mad. But you know what he did do? He obeyed. So he got up early one morning, so early that it was dark. So dark he didn't realize what socks he put on that morning. I'm kidding. That wasn't Abraham. That was Brandon. I'm sorry. I love you, man. So he gets up and he takes Hagar and he takes Ishmael, and these are the works of his hands. This is what he has done. And he starts walking. Get up. Send him away. Give him a bottle. Add this up. And I think Ishmael's 14 years old at this time. 14 years old. He has spent 14 years with this boy. Could you imagine? Man, this guy right here is my pal. He's been my buddy for a while now. I couldn't imagine at 14 Tracy saying, hey, get rid of him.
You know what's easy to do? It's easy to look at somebody else and tell them what they need to get out of their life because you haven't spent no time with it. It's easy for me to sit and say, you know what you need to do? You need to quit this, 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 and this. I'm telling you, they've spent a lot of time with that stuff. And it's going to take a decision because he has put a lot of time and effort into shaping this boy. And he gets up, and there comes a point, and I don't know what point it is, but there comes a point when Abraham stops, and they keep walking. And what he does at this point, you got to see this. Ishmael's here. Isaac is back here. The work of his hands, what he's been chiseling on is over here, but what God is doing is over here. So there comes a point when he's looking, right there, stay right there, when he's looking that way, but the problem is the child of promise is back here. What am I saying? There has to come a point, and this is the principle in Scripture, when you stop trying to do it your way and you turn around and drop your chisel and do it the way God said, it's got to be done. Because the promise is on this side. He said, don't you touch the altar. You just come to it and let me do it the way I want to do it. The child of promise was over here. Thank you, Brandon. The more you do it your way, the easier it gets to lean on your flesh. Has anybody ever, I know it's a little beside the point, but has anybody ever seen that thing where the woman is talking to her husband and she says that she has a headache and it's hurting her really bad? There's just so much pressure. And then it finally shows it and she has a nail in her forehead. Has anybody seen that? Raise your hand if you've seen it. Has anybody ever seen that? Man, I wish I had, I'd show it to you. Because he tries to tell her she has a nail on her forehead. And she says, don't try to fix it. I just need you to listen to me. And he says, but it might. And the point of the story is it's not the nail. She just wants him to hear. He's trying to fix it. You know what the problem with some of you guys? You're always just trying to fix stuff. Your wife comes to you and she tells you something. You're like, well, I tell you, you want me to go get him? You want me to go talk to him? We're like, hey, I don't feel good. You should probably go to the hospital. You want me to take you? You're always just trying to fix the problem. And you know what we do? Hey, as humans, we always try to fix the problem. There are some problems that we can't fix. In the plan of God, we need to start waiting on God, get to the altar, and find out which way he wants it to go. Man, are you listening to me today? Because the first thing we want to do is pull out the chisel. Here, I can make this right. I can knock off the rough edges. I can make it more this and I can make it more that. But God says, no, this is me. One more story and I'm going to let you go early today. Jesus was always doing the will of the Father. You agree? He would say things like, he hears me because I do what is pleasing unto him. He would say, "Where 12 years old. 12 years old, where was he at? He was in the temple, right? 12 years old. They lost him. They went back. Who loses Jesus? They go back in there, and he's in the temple, and he makes this statement. He said, Where would you expect me to be but about my Father's business? Mark Lowry says, we don't hear anything from Jesus from 12 years old to 30 because he was grounded. We don't hear much about it, but we do know this. He was about his Father's business. No matter what he was doing, he was about his Father's business. He was always yielding to the plan. Even when the plan was rough, he yielded to it. Oh, can I get an amen? Even when it was tough, so tough that he went to the garden to pray about it. And in that garden, Brother Rick, he walks into the garden and he goes a little farther than the disciples. He goes, a stone's cast away from him, and he begins to pray. Even Jesus, at this point, wanted to get the chisel out because he made this statement. He said, let this cup pass from me. But very quickly, he drops the chisel and says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. In the same breath, he said, I would like to change this. I would like to make it different, but nevertheless, God, not my will, thy will be done. Are you hearing me? We want to change it. We want to do it. We want to make it work. I don't care what's going on in your life. Drop the chisel. If you're looking for a job right now and can't find a job, drop the chisel. Get to the altar and say, God, where do you want me? If you got somebody lost in your family and I'm going to do this, drop the chisel and get to the altar and don't reveal your flesh. Just say, God, I'm giving it to you. Not my will, but thy will be done. If you're walking away with whatever you're walking away with, stop following Hagar. Drop the chisel and turn around and say, God, I'm going to do this your way. Because your way is high above my way. Your thoughts are high above my thoughts. So what are you working on? We keep working. I'm going to brag a minute. Man, I can swing a hammer. I've been swinging a hammer since I was a little kid. And you know what I do? When a red hat can't change a bit, I make fun of them. That's just how I'm wired. We got one right now. He looks over. He says, I can't. I said, hit the chisel. Tink. Every time he hits it, I go, tink, tink, tink. I told him the other day I was going to call him Tank. It's a mix between tink and kank, but it sounded too tough, so I got to come up with something different. So you know what I do when he's over there tink, tinking, tinking, tinking? I said, give it here. Give it here. Let me hit it. And I knocked the bit out. He said, you're not with this. And I said, his kid probably hates me. I said, I ain't never let a bit beat me yet. Do you know what we do? We get good at swinging at whatever we're swinging at. But what we don't understand is we're making it something God never ordained it to be. We feel like we're making progress because it looks better to us. Oh, are y'all hearing me? I've done it. I've went the wrong way. I've grabbed my chisel and took off. Wound up in a place. I didn't ask God, hey, God, do you want me to take this job? I just took the job because it paid a lot more. And then I got there and I said, oh, Lord, please deliver me. They said, are you going to quit? You know how much money you're making? I learned the statement. It ain't all about the money. It's about being in the will of God. It's about being where God wants you to be. He don't always want us to where we're headed. Man, I want to rescue somebody today and tell you, put the chisel down. The altar's ready for you. The relationship is ready for you. He said, hey, listen, take my yoke. He said, my yoke is, it's easy. My burden is light. You're over there trying to shape your life and put it in. And he said, just come to the altar. Come to relationship. Because he said, there's where I'm going to meet with you. I'm going to meet with you at the altar. So much. Oh, this is good. This just in. I'm hearing this for the first time too. He wanted to meet him at the altar so bad that he made himself an earthen altar. He came meek and lowly. And he made a meeting place for us. We keep working, and the work is already done. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You think you know what's best. I'm going to tell you what you're going to get. You're going to get a busted hand or calluses. This is a sissy chisel anyway. It's got a target guard on it. Yeah, they make these now because people can't swing hammers. How'd you learn? With one of these? No, you learned by hitting your hand, didn't you? And then you got good at hitting it. That's our problem. We've got good at making it look and making it work out with our own plan. I'm here to tell you, lay it down. Lay it down. Come on, Aaron, I'm done. I think I'm finished.
I think this is the end. Because here's what we're going to do right now. We do this a lot in our church. We want to pray with you. Why do we pray with you every service? Because we believe that prayer works. Brother Rick, I heard a guy say years ago, and it bothered me. He said he was a businessman, and he went to church, and the preacher preached, and said he'd done a real good job, and the guy was convicted. And when he got ready to leave, he looked at him, and he said, "Man, did you enjoy the service?" He said, "I did." He said, "I did." He said, "Well, I hope you'll come back." He said, "I won't come back here." And he said, "Why won't you come back here?" He said, "Because you never brought me to a decision. I wanted to make a decision in that service to follow Jesus, and you never brought me to a decision." He said, "I'm going to find somebody that's going to make me decide." Zach, that's bothered me for years. So you know what we do almost every service? Bring you to decision. Maybe you got something going on in your life that you're trying to fix it. You're trying to work it out. I want to pray with you and say, "Hey, you know what? I want you to step out and say, I'm ready to drop the chisel. I'm ready to turn away from Hagar, and I'm ready to turn back. I'm ready to turn from Ishmael back to Isaac. This ain't about my flesh. This ain't about what I can do. I want to know what God wants me to do." If he's dealing with your heart right now, be the first one. Step up. Come on, Darren. I know we're going to pray with somebody. Come on, Jason, help me. We're going to pray. All you got to do is step out, step up. All we're going to do is pray with you. And all you're saying when you come up here right now is this: "I'm trying to work some things out, and I'm done with it. I'm done with it. I'm done with swinging my own hammer." Come on, Brittany, help us. Come on. There's one. Would you help me pray? Would you help me pray? I'm tired. God, I'm bringing it to the altar. I'm bringing it to the altar. I need you to guide me, Lord. I need you to lead me, Lord. It don't always got to be the attractive way. God, put me in the right way.